advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
What's happening? What's going on?
Yo.
There's something wrong with my mic. This is the Sofa King Podcast. Dave's
not
having trouble.
In.
What's wrong?
I have no idea.
Hello? I can hear me. I can
hear you.
Your mic is twisted. Push it towards you, maybe?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Try now.
Twisted?
Yeah, get up in front of the mic. Put that black thing in your mouth.
Am I the only one hearing it quiet?
That's good, man.
I can hear you.
Sound decent.
Right. Is it going to drive you crazy? Should we fix it?
No, we're good.
Sound like a soft.
You can turn me up a little bit, maybe.
Before it's Brad.
Maybe chill here.
This is the professional type of show that we do. That's better.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we can do adjustments on the fly.
That's right.
On our mixing board that we don't have.
Someone, who was it? Oh, someone posted a picture of a mixing board.
Yeah, you fucking asshole.
Just to like be like, Sofa King Podcast is going to hate this. I think it was Man Boy Podcast or something. Yeah.
So, I want to real quick give a shout out to a bunch of people. It was my birthday a while back now, but this week I got a belated birthday cake that was made from like a professional cake person. And it was like a purple rain cake with like a print symbol on it. And it was really awesome. And I posted it on Instagram and I got like a fucking shit ton of people who liked it. And I had a ton of people wish me happy birthday. And I just wanted to thank everybody all at once. There's too many people to isolate, but if you got on my Instagram and thanked me for the cake, I do appreciate it. Much love to the much love. And the cake is now gone, if you're curious.
Yeah, and I'll throw some quick shout outs from Instagram also, and maybe Twitter later. I don't know. Chris Farrell, as always, thank you, sir. We love you. And if you want to have some, I'm gonna call it Olsen sex, just hit me up.
Olsen sex? Oh, screwdriver?
Samalama Ding Dong 143. Thank you.
Is that really their thing?
That's Samalama. I just added it. Samalama Ding Dong. You never. Cosmic Super Tramp. I didn't make that one up.
That was my shout out too. Was Cosmic Super Tramp just because I like their name and it stood out.
Yep. Man, there's some funny names. MG from the B, I guess. Joe Coslow. Thank you. Ben Booster. Whatever. Thank you.
Also on my list was Ben.
A Man Dark.
Ooh. Ben, though, I have to say, we got to figure this out. He recommended a topic about these mysterious staircases that are in national parks that have been discovered by park rangers and or hikers in remote locations, just like staircases to nowhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's how Gary Coleman gets around.
The top of it is a vortex. But he was sad because we didn't talk about it in 411.
I didn't know about it.
I didn't come across it, but he had recommended it. We got to look into it. It sounds crazy.
Yeah. So Heaver77. And Zingent Chris, I can't pronounce words.
Zingent was Chris. Also on mine. Yeah.
So yeah, thank you. The few shout outs, maybe I'll get to some Twitter ones later. So today we're talking about the Philadelphia experiment.
We are.
Which has been
and final shout out. It was actually recommended in our last round of inquiries by Rob Hampton. So thank you, Rob Hampton.
Thank you, Mr.
Brian,
Hampton.
I think Brian Mears or something was the first one to say that.
There was
though.
A few people. So if you
few people have,
yeah,
have,
Brian Mears almost certainly
Rob
said
Hampton,
that. Yeah.
Brian Mears. So if you did recommend the show and you haven't gotten a sticker pack yet, hit us up on social medias and we will reward you for the show topic. But yeah, the topic today is the Philadelphia experiment, in which potentially a ship disappeared. But before we get into ships disappearing, Brent has promised to make something disappear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we promised, on Tuesday's episode that Brent was going to try the strawberry jam with El Yucateco combo. Yeah.
That's right.
So, Isabel Arnold, if you poison this jam, I'm pretty sure Whiskey Chasers and El Yucateco Habanero cancel out poison. So
that's right.
And if you did
poison,
I have a purple blanket ready.
If you did poison blanket. The jam, then let's we're going to get it all recorded.
Yeah, it's all here. You need a screwdriver?
No.
I have one in my back pocket.
I hope it didn't like
never see it.
And even like to her, like
you never know when you
even if she didn't poison it, it made it from South Dakota in a UPS box through Bakersfield heat. I'm kind of scared.
But they ship all kinds of
stuff. No, it's good. The fact that it took the fact that it was that hard to get the lid off means that it
wasn't
popped
and it made a hiss noise. So
I can stuff all the time. That was a legit
anaerobic bacteria. Yes. So what's happening here is a strawberry jam from South Dakota from a random fan that most likely has LSD and or ricin in it. And I'm going to put some habanero triple X El Yucateco on there and chase it with whiskey. Because that sounds like a solid plan. I would like to point out there are three spoons. Yeah. There's actually I have a whole bag of clean spoons.
No.
But
there is no spoon.
But these guys said no. So
yeah, are you recording it?
Oh, you want me to video it?
I don't know. If he dies, it'd be good.
Yeah, they may have video evidence. Okay, go. So he's got the strawberry jam on the spoon.
Yep.
A good little supply of it. And he's got the triple X going on.
I'd like to point out, like,
right, that's a legit dollop of triple X.
I thought I roll with triple X. All right, I got a whiskey chaser.
Yep.
Here we go. All right, let's see.
Don't chase it too quick. You got to let it do its magic.
Right. Tell us about the flavors and how they interact with one another.
His knee, he's got restless leg syndrome.
The jam is chewier than I thought. That caught me off guard because there was like
he's gonna try and swallow it.
No, there was like a chunk of hopefully strawberry. Yeah. I think the jam is delicious. I think Mexican candy. I mean, that's what it seems like. It's like those weird salty chili prunes or whatever.
It's right,
like
it's sweet very, and sour go together.
It's reminiscent of that.
Spicy and sweet. It's
and
like
so,
a trail mix.
Ricin, what's the kill time? Like, what are we talking about here?
I don't know.
LSD, how long
you probably fall asleep first.
We'll see.
You'll know when we start saying crazy shit.
So. It's good. It's as expected. No, like a crazy catalytic concoction.
Is it like an amazing, like I'm going to put this on toast?
Yeah. What would be good though? Because you could do, because hot sauce and peanut butter is a thing because our friends at the farmer's market.
I did it.
Have ghost butter. Which is peanut butter with ghost pepper.
I did hot sauce and Yucateco.
And they convinced me
peanut butter and Yucateco by myself in my kitchen.
So you have peanut butter, Yucateco, and then strawberry jam, which one probably be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be bad.
So
it's a good excuse to drink this whiskey, though.
Yeah. Yes.
Your eyes are kind of watering. You okay?
Mm-mm.
No.
The whiskey was hotter than the sauce.
I'm okay. All right, nice. So there's our
anticlimactic.
It's not anticlimactic. I wouldn't have had that much hot sauce on a spoon. No. I'm not.
What are you gonna do with those other two spoons?
I don't champ it like that. There is no spoon.
It's your guys' turn. Before the show's up, you guys get to try it.
No, I'm not trying it.
How about you just do Yucateco in a spoon?
I'll do that.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's not talk about it. That's what could happen.
Yucateco
in a spoon.
By triple itself, X? A triple X. Man, that's a lot for me.
Come on, not a lot of talk until someone hands you a spoon in a bottle.
You're gonna do this to me right in the beginning of the episode?
I remember another guy about 13 seconds ago that just ate strawberry jam, whiskey, and habanero.
But how many bottles of triple X do you eat a week?
Probably one.
There you go. You know how many I eat a week?
0.0.
Yeah.
Fine.
I'll do it. You want me to do it? Fine. You ruin my day.
Do what you want, man. It's not going to ruin your day. It won't ruin your day. It might ruin your tomorrow if you're not used to it.
How much?
There is no spoon.
No, that's up to you, sissy.
There is no spoon.
I'm going to video it.
I don't care. You do what you want.
You do what you want.
Fuck. Did you give me a water?
Yeah, your water's right there with the straw.
Oh, that's a heavy pour, my friend. Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'm not a bitch.
My camera won't work.
I can't agree to this and then do like...
One time I tried to film you, a camera failed. It just will not work. My camera won't fucking work. Water.
Okay, I'm safe then. I was worried all I had was a Mountain Dew.
You're fine. You're a man.
Dude. Yeah, well, that's true.
This is true.
Let me see the pour.
It's not bad.
Nah. Some people can't take a drop of that, though.
Ooh, I'm telling you, I put a drop on a sandwich and it's hot, so this is going to suck. I already know.
Delicious. Good man. Good job. The rest of your day is going to go better now, sir.
Oh, fuck. It's hot. It is good, though.
It's fucking delicious, dude. I would eat it with a spoon. Threw it at me. I would eat that with a spoon if it wasn't going to ruin my day the next day. Like, there's consequences to eating too much of it, but it's delicious. But there's consequences to eating too much of anything.
Yeah, it's hot. It's good, though. It is. The triple X is surprisingly good for how hot it is. Like, usually when something's really warm, and it's not overbearing either, when something's really warm, You can't really taste the flavor.
No,
that has a lot of flavor.
Like, it's like if you had like a spoon of Tabasco, you would just have heat and no flavor, and it sucks. But with the there's definite.
I'm watching the clock. I'm 8 minutes into strawberry jam, and I haven't died yet. So
it's just fucking strawberry jam.
Just shut up.
All right, Isabel, thank you. That's your second shout out.
So the Philadelphia experiment.
Yes.
So the Philadelphia experiment, first off, there was never anything called the Philadelphia experiment.
No.
Like, it was a name given to something later on. Yes. Right. So allegedly it was something called Project Rainbow is what people think.
If you were going to make a project about a disappearing ship, quotations.
Yes.
I would call it Project Rainbow too.
Rainbow.
Oh,
for the record, that's on tape.
Project Rainbow.
I would call it Project Rambo. That sounds fucking awesome.
That's way better. The rainbow thing, though, allegedly was a term used during the war, but it had to do with like Italy, Europe, and America or something. It was like,
yeah, I read that, like a code name for
they said they did use it, but not under those terms. It was associated with something else. Yeah.
And then there was another thing that I found about a Project Rainbow that happened in the 60s, and it had something to do with the
San Francisco
or something, and it was nothing. But so the overall idea, and I think most of you have probably heard of the Philadelphia experiment, is that in the Philadelphia shipyards in the year 1943 during World War II, there was a ship called the USS Eldridge, and allegedly a couple of different experiments happened based on Brad's breathing with his mouth open.
That's weird how you could build up a tolerance, because I used to not be able to eat hot stuff, and like I'm completely past it. I got more strawberry jam aftertaste right now than I have leftover habanero.
You need a spoonful of strawberry jam.
Yeah, I'm drunk on you could take
it. You want to try the jam? Let's die together. Come on.
He's good. The thought is, and there's two different sort of stories with the Philadelphia experiment, and I'm sure we'll go into them both in some detail. But one of them is that in July 22nd of 1943, allegedly there was some attempt to make the ship become invisible, which did or did not happen. And then there's a completely different account on October 28th of 1943, where the ship was allegedly teleported and or time traveled.
Yeah, momentarily.
200 miles away and 10 minutes back in time.
Right. So.
Which I think, like, the teleportation thing, my problem with it is, like, it conveniently teleports on
to
Earth,
another bay.
On Earth and to another like U.S. Protected like area or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's,
well,
like,
no, I read. I actually
didn't show up on somebody's house.
No, I read about. I actually read a guy who was discussing that, and he was talking about these specific theories of like quantum temporal displacement or some shit, and he was talking about the fact that, based on some time theories, if something were able to move through time, it would travel to another space in another point in space-time that it had occupied. And since that berth at the Norfolk shipyard is where all the ships would go to load ammunition,
right,
that it traveled through time, but that the course of least resistance was to also show up someplace it had already been in space.
So then that negates the argument that because all of the crew members, which they think signed documents stating that, it never happened and can't talk about it. But all the crew members say that, they never went to Philadelphia on that ship. And there were some members that had been with the ship since it was born. And I say born, I mean built.
Yeah. They were like, oh, well, maybe it happened before it was commissioned.
Yeah. So it happened before it was commissioned. So that would kind of negate that whole theory of that's very
one of the big factors to overcome too. Is I watched an interview with a physicist, and they have something called quantum teleportation that we're supposedly allegedly just getting into with
photons. We talked about that, how they can actually
they make can move photons.
Yeah, they can move them through time. And
so, but the physicist said, if you had 300 photons and you could identify them specifically, you had a specific specified set, I think, of photons, and you wanted to move those, that the information in bits required for positional and relocation to do that logistically is, it would require more bits than there are like
in
molecules
the
in the universe.
Right.
That's the amount of information that's needed
to
do that.
On some level, once we have the computer technology, it can do that. You know what I mean? Because it can process bits and bytes and
well, in simulation theory, it's no big deal, right? Yeah. Like I feel like I always go back to that. I try to argue it and be like, I don't know about this, but then I'm like, if we're in a simulation, which is really what I believe, I feel like that's not a big deal.
Well, if you're in simulation theory, it's already possible.
Yeah,
like right. if we're Bernstein bearing ourselves, you know, where we're changing, I mean, changing what reality we're in. Then I would, if you're on that level where you believe that's happening, then anything's possible.
Right. Then it's no big deal.
So I'm fucking crazy and I believe everything pretty much.
Right.
Like, because every time I try to argue something, I'm like, video game. Could you do it in a video game? Yep. Okay, fine. Never mind. Could there be a chupacabra?
Sure. This is the great thing about Brent though. He won't watch a movie if it's not realistic. Like cars that flip upside down and they're shooting out of the...
Like Transporter. He shoots a chain link that sparks and blows up a 50-gallon drum that flips a diesel, and he jumps out of the sunroof and does 3 backflips and lands on the fucking window, makes out with a girl, and saves the fucking day.
If you don't think that happens in video games, you don't play video games.
Yeah, what video games? He's still on Street Fighter 2.
He's playing Sims 1
We pick up Nintendo games together.
Yeah.
You say one more bad thing about Street Fighter 2, I tell you.
No, I didn't say anything bad about it. That is a classic game.
Fucking Double Dragon over here.
Yeah. I talked about Street Fighter 2.
Whatever, Ninja Gaiden, calm down.
Ninja Gaiden's awesome.
Except that's a Bernstein Bear effect for me too, because I remember playing it specifically on Sega Saturn, and coincidentally, it never came out on Sega Saturn. It only came out on Nintendo.
Snap.
So I got fucked.
I only put it on Nintendo. I thought we were in the same universe. What happened?
Oh, they shift all the time.
We can coexist.
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
So the two events, right? So there's two different things you have to talk about when you're talking about Philadelphia Experiment, and they both tie to different like top secret, you know, government situations. So, I mean, one thing for sure, for fact, is that ships, specifically destroyers that were in the Philadelphia shipyard in 1943, were being fitted with experimental technology. Like, that's just true.
For sure. Absolutely.
Like, that's true. So World War II, some shit is happening to these ships for sure. Like this
model of ship was a special ship because we were being attacked by the German U-boats who were outmaneuvering us. The big ass destroyers couldn't turn, they couldn't maneuver. And so this was the answer to the U-boats. So
yeah, it was a cannon class destroyer escort. And it was specifically designed to escort ships, like fleets of ships that didn't have defenses so that we could get supplies to Europe during the war. And it was a quick, like specific class that they had built. And it was very experimental and cutting edge and so forth.
And the specific ship is USS Eldridge.
Yes.
So
one of the things that a lot of people talk about when they talk about the Philadelphia Experiment with both of these things, and once you start researching it, you're immediately going in, you're going to bump into the conspiracy theorists who say this type of science is why it would have been possible for us to do this in 1943 or to do this today. And they always end up talking about unified field theory. Like anything with Philadelphia Experiment tends to push back to what they call the unified field theory. And the rumor is that the US Navy had researchers who were working with unified field theory, and they're trying to unify electromagnetism, light, gravity, time, everything. It's what Einstein talked about a lot, the grand unified theory, or the theory of everything, that people are still trying to prove.
This is his theory. He was actually employed by the Navy and working on this project, supposedly.
Supposedly, some of his ideas. I couldn't confirm how much he did or didn't, but I know he did work
and the Navy was using a modified version of this unified field theory. So they took his theory, which from a couple of things I saw, he wasn't finished with it,
He never proved unified field theory.
That was his lifelong goal.
They're still trying to prove it.
He had all of his accolades in the beginning of his career and did all this stuff, and then he hit a stopping point, which I feel like, did we talk about this? I feel like we talked about it. He hit a stopping point where the rest of his life, he went like in 20 years, he did so much, and then for the next 40 years, he just spun his wheels on unified field theory. He could never quite bring it together, but some of the reports said that he might have possibly sabotaged sabotaged unified field theory because of the repercussion of it, that we weren't technologically ready for it, what would come of it, like propulsion systems and the whole time travel, that he may have on purpose messed with it.
Yeah.
What I specifically like is that it puts Tesla and Einstein together in this theory, like that there's some Tesla stuff going on and some Einstein stuff,
right,
with like, dang, those guys together, we couldn't get like some fucking low carb chocolate cake or some shit. Like, I mean,
it tastes the same as regular,
tastes the same as regular chocolate cake. You know, why does Splenda have to kill like 60% of the probiotic bacteria in your stomach? Why does Equal have to fucking be 2 grams of cancer per pack? Like, just fucking these dudes, the big minds get together and make some fake fucking sugar that doesn't kill you.
That's why I use Sweet and Low.
Yeah. No, that shit's like ant poison.
That's good, man.
Ugh. I can't believe you like Sweet and Low. I'm sorry, Dave. Continue.
Oh, that's okay.
Every glass of tea I make.
You really use Sweet and Low in tea?
Yeah.
That shit is disgusting.
It's good. It's the best. Oh. It's better than sugar.
Come on, Dave.
Don't look at me. Tea is disgusting.
What?
What?
Wait a minute.
We learn new things every day.
What? Like every fucking day we walk over to Dagny's and I come back with water and say tea is disgusting. And you're just now realizing.
What about tea?
You don't like black guys' tea.
No.
Black guys'
tea. I don't like black guys'
tea. For the record,
we
call black guys' tea black guys' tea.
Yeah.
Because the barista never catches it. No. Sometimes they do. And we just look at them like, what?
Yeah. If I'm sick, I'll drink. If I'm sick, I'll drink hot green tea. I think iced tea is an abomination of flavorless nastiness.
I think you had some bad tea because you know what? Like I went to a restaurant locally the other day, and they had two tea dispensers. And
some
if
are
tea
bad.
Is gone, if it's been there too long,
if it's oversteeped,
it tastes like spinach. It tastes like fucking boiled spinach, like hot boiled spinach water. It's fucking gross. If you let it steep too long, it does go spinachy. But then I went over to the other one that was fresh. It's fucking amazing.
I have consumed iced tea 200 times in my life, and every single time it was just as disappointing as the last time.
You didn't put Sweet and Low in it, though. That's the problem.
I'm going to have to disagree with both of you. I'm in my own crew over here. No Sweet and Low, and love iced tea.
No, it's nastiness.
I drink iced tea with nothing in it.
Yeah, there you go.
Iced tea too.
All right, we're together again.
Sometimes I drink.
Then I put. Sometimes I put 3 packs of Sweet and Low in it.
Sometimes I drink Sweet and Low with no tea.
Yeah.
Oh,
I chop up my Sweet and Low with the credit card and then snort it with the dollar bill.
Sometimes, more like all the time.
Every time. Shit, I'm lying.
Shit, I'm lying.
I have no idea where this conversation went. So part of the people that are saying that the Philadelphia experiment was a real thing, they point to unified field theory, which... pro and con of doing this, okay? The pro is it points to a genuine scientific theory that's legitimate, that quantum physicists to this day are spending untold resources towards trying to prove. Smartest minds on Earth are trying to create a unified field theory, and they're pointing...
The con is today they're still trying to prove the theory. Right,
yeah. Which makes me think...
The con is, it's like pointing to a fucking magic wand. It's like how they do it with a magic wand with unified field theory.
Harry Potter. We haven't
figured it out since. It's like, it's both a very... convenient scapegoat to say this is how they did it, and we just haven't been able to duplicate it, and a legitimate way to have made a ship disappear by bending light waves or by making it displaced in space-time or something like that.
I can get behind the bending light waves and kind of making it seem somewhere it's not, or glare it, or you know what I mean? When you're in the ocean, light does all kinds of crazy things, and I can get behind that theory, you know, where they put some sort of field around it where it makes it foggy or crazy or harder to see. Sure.
There must be one of the variables is wrong. It's like they're trying to bring three things together. That's clearly one of the variables must be wrong. It was taking this long to figure it out. Like if you knew almost everything you think you know about gravity and everything else, like magnetism, that it's one of those variables must be wrong if you can't bring them together somehow. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean,
gravity is all in our mind anyway. If you wanted to float, you can float. It's just in your head that you can't, because that's what you've been told.
Okay, Neo.
There is no spoon. I've been saying this since the beginning of the show.
Yeah, and now I can't find the other spoon.
So
because you threw it at me.
The problem I have with that though is that if every other major secret super technology, whatever from World War II that was discovered has been declassified, including the fucking nuclear bomb.
Well,
so it's like, if
you're saying every other secret has been declassified, that's like a false statement as it goes. Like, you know about the ones that have been declassified. So you're like, oh yeah, you told me all the secrets. No, they're secrets by fucking definition. Clearly there's probably still secrets.
Yeah, but
I just,
you don't know about the secrets.
What's so bad about this one?
There's known knowns, there's known unknowns, and there's unknown knowns.
If we were able to make the ship invisible, wouldn't we have duplicated that?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is
they can't see it.
Well, they had issues too. Let's go through the story.
Well, do what you're going to do.
They had issues, which, I mean, when you get a guy trapped halfway in metal, halfway in
air. The invisibility one, supposedly on July 22nd, 1943, they manipulated electromagnetic currents. And again, one thing that I will confirm, a lot of eyewitnesses on not just the Eldridge, but on a fleet of another four destroyers of a similar class. And then one ship, which was a different class called the USS Timmerman, which was an experimental gearing class destroyer that had like an aluminum superstructure, were all being there, fitted with strange equipment. And the sailors from multiple ships said, we have no idea what any of this equipment on the ships is.
You know what the story is supposed to be though. Yeah.
What's that?
Degaussing. Like, you know about that?
Yeah. That's okay. One of the things, and this comes out later from a guy named, forget his name, Edward Dudgeon, a supposed eyewitness comes out, and I'll say a lot about him later, but Edward Dudgeon comes in and says that they were degaussing ships out of there. And the degaussing is they would literally wrap the ship in metal cables and hit it with electrical currents, and it would like make the magnetic field all wacky.
So what happens is, like, if something's magnetic or magnetized, electrons are all facing us the same way. So like, that's what happens when you take a screwdriver and rub it over a magnet to magnetize it. It unifies all the electrons. All the electrons become facing a similar way, or the charged, all their charges are one way. So you have like north and south poles. So it's magnetized.
Positive and negative.
Yeah. So degaussing just goes through and disrupts that pattern. It randomizes the pattern. Right. So like on old CRT monitors, there was a degauss button that had a picture of the horseshoe magnet with like a line through it, and you'd hit it and it was really cool. But you can only do it so often, because over time, the cathode ray tube would fire electrons at the front of the screen and everything would become similar. And when you hit degauss, it would send an interrupt pattern through it and make a really loud, like, whoom noise, and the whole screen would blur and go rainbow. Rainbow, weird. And I don't know what the problem, I guess you would have like anomalies or something in the picture. I think it's like when you used to put speakers on an old CRT TV, it would put those discoloration. Color marks.
And you would have to hit the degauss button.
If you degauss it, it would disrupt that pattern, that collection of electrons that weren't reacting properly. Right. And the reason the military started doing it is because the Germans had magnetic mines.
And torpedoes.
And so they were trying to basically not have a big piece of steel that is magnetic and it has all the electrons positively charged in one fashion or another. It's identifiable. And if they degauss that, then it just looks like random. It doesn't look like a giant piece of anything because the electrons are randomized.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it took them off radar, basically.
Yeah. It made the magnetic things no longer be attracted to the hulls.
Yeah. It disrupted that pattern.
Right. And there is confirmation that the Navy was doing that they were doing it at the time. This was something that was being done. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense, and it's actually feasible to do.
And you can see where some drunk-ass sailors start to talk about, like, oh, we're invisible.
They're making my ship invisible.
Two magnetic mines.
Like, you're on shore leave right now, and your ship is wrapped in fucking cables getting electrified for a day. And they're like, why are you on shore, Johnny? And they're like, they're making my ship invisible, see? Like,
And at this time, too, like, this technology was just out there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So
this was some cutting edge shit
this was before UFOs, doing. You know,
they were pulling in originally, they were like dry docking ships, pulling all the electronics off of it, running giant fucking cables all over around the hull and having these huge generators like pulse through and create a giant electromagnet around the ship.
Seems like a really desperate attempt.
It worked though. It did work, but it was it wasn't good during wartime.
So many better options.
It took a long time to do it. So that's what their thing was. They started to try to figure out, can we just outfit the ship so it has these coils built in on the ship? Can we do it from within? Can we have it on board in real time? Because during wartime, it wasn't, you can't just go pull over and get all the way back to dock and like strip all the electronics and do this and put it back. Another thing I think that's important to say is, like, for one, the verbiage that's used to say making us invisible. You know, some sailors probably go to port, they're in a fucking bar, they're getting drunk, they're like, man, they're putting these crazy cables and stuff all over the ship, we're going to be invisible to the Germans, blah 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 blah. The other thing that happens with high electromagnetic magnetic fields that you always see like on ghost hunters and whatnot, that it happens in houses when there's like bad wiring or wiring that's too clustered, or when you get these high electromagnetic fields, people get feelings of paranoia, hysteria, hallucinations can be generated. There's actually an experiment called like the God effect we talked about or whatever, where they put that helmet on people and then induced electromagnetic fields, and they felt like they were behind themselves looking at themselves, or that the presence of God was there.
Which is similar to people who have operations who have outer body experiences.
Yeah.
Like it's very,
so you know that they were bastards back in the day, having people like put on these goggles and dig a hole and look at this nuclear blast, right? This is the time of that. Like, it'll be fine. Don't worry. You might get a sunburn, like whatever. Just sit in the dirt, put some goggles on and look at that mushroom cloud and tell us what you feel. There's going to be a survey afterwards, you know, so they don't give a shit about people. So they put skeleton crews on these ships, outfit them with these giant fucking cables, and then just discharge crazy magnetic fields. So people are going to be like, fuck yeah, you probably are going to be nauseous and paranoid and think you saw fucking things.
And that's
things.
Part of it, right? That's,
and go so, bananas.
So the conspiracies, go bananas. The conspiracy story is that a green fog emanated around where the ship was. The ship became, based on different accounts, completely or partially transparent.
Right.
People went, quote, bananas, right? The sailors became paranoid, went crazy. Allegedly, some of them were sick. permanently insane. They got physically ill. And then the ship sort of reformed itself and was back to normal.
Well, think about if it was affecting light. Like if you look over a barbecue when it's on, right? Shit looks crazy. A mirage down the road on a hot day in Bakersfield, it looks like there's a water puddle ahead of you and you never reach it, right? There's no water puddle there. It clearly looks like there's a puddle of water there. And when you look over a barbecue, everything is distorted because the molecules are excited and the light that's trying to pass
Have
through
you
those,
ever followed a rainbow is what I want to know.
One time.
Yeah.
It was about an hour, and I finally fucking just like, fine.
here's another thing. When they talked about the USS Timmerman, and this got declassified later, the experimental ship, it was fitted with this weird high-frequency generator. It was the only ship of its class built. It was a very strange ship, and it had a high-frequency power generator on it that apparently generated so much electricity that when it was in the water, it would do coronal discharges, which is kind of like St. Elmo's fire, or just like a purple or a green electrical kind of aurora borealis weirdness.
There you go. That's a perfect example.
Right.
So that's what I was alluding to with the barbecue. Things like that. Like
yeah,
you
the
see
aurora
those
bornanellibus.
Yes, aurora bornanellibus.
Yes.
So yeah, it's entirely reasonable to think that people were sitting there seeing an aurora, or there's a disruption of electrons and the light is not going to translate to your eyes. It could be hallucinations coupled with some kind of magnetic visual anomaly.
And you said mirage, and that's exactly what it is. You're in the desert.
I'm on board. Like maybe I'm not debunking it. I'm saying that makes me believe that
part, some of this version is at least feasible.
And that's what I said.
I'm cool with green fog.
Very beginning, like the you know, changing the electrons and making it seem as though it's not there, or camouflaging it in some sense with neutrons and electrons.
You get some sailors to see some green like aurora coming off their ship and coronal discharges.
Superstitious shit.
Some of them were standing within that field.
And they haven't seen the transporter yet.
They haven't even seen the 40s. Yeah. They don't even know who Jason Statham is.
Yeah. They haven't seen Snatch.
Lucky them. I dream about him every night. I can't help it. God.
But so the snag here.
Jason Statham joke. Go ahead.
Oh, wait.
Keep going.
Never mind. It's not a snag. I just unsnagged my snag.
You just unsnagged your snagglepuss.
I just unsnagged my snagglepuss. I had a snag for that, but I unsnagged it. that was one of the two Philadelphia experiment situations that allegedly happened. The other one is more audacious and sort of ramps it up a notch. And this is the one that allegedly took place on October 28th of 1943. And it says that the second rumored experiment that happened with the ship was that they did something to teleport it, and potentially some small scale time travel for 10 minutes or something. And this is the one where it allegedly appeared in the Norfolk, Virginia shipyards when it was in the Philadelphia shipyards. The theory was that it was like a teleportation thing. And like I said, the ship could only appear someplace else that it was in space time. So it showed up someplace else that it had been or was going to be in the future or whatever. In this version, there were two sailors from the Eldridge who were allegedly on shore leave, who when the ship disappeared, they also disappeared, as if they were somehow connected with the space.
There were even stories of like
anomaly.
That guy in the bar. Did you see that?
Which
one of the sailors that was allegedly on the ship disappeared from a bar.
Yeah, there were two of them.
Yeah, they got into a bar fight.
And they disappeared in the middle of the bar.
So the takeaway from that is after you've been electrically magnetized,
yes. Right?
Magnified.
We need to take your psycho test again. I need to at least change the tongue-tied thing because I think that you might be psycho.
No, that's why I said I'm never not tongue-tied. That's what the thing is.
Yeah.
All right.
But after you've been magnetized and magnetized, don't get into a fight.
Or just sit still. You need to.
Because then you'll disappear for sure.
You will disappear.
Oh, man. Oops. I totally disapparted.
I disapparted.
Why do Mexicans disapparted? Why did we go that way?
Are you disapparted at me right
Dave,
now?
Dave and I both put Mexican accents on.
You did it, and I just followed suit. I have no idea why.
I was just thinking racist.
Because last week I took my car to the junkyard, and they totally disapparted it.
So
that's for you, Armando Chavez.
This was...
don't get a face tattoo.
No. So this is the one that allegedly happened. This is the one that supposedly involved when the ship, like a lot of people claim, when the ship rematerialized back in Philadelphia, allegedly some of the people were out of phase and were fused with bulkheads and walls and doors.
They were buried in the metal. I like the language they use, like when they say certain things, like they went bananas.
Yes.
They were buried in the metal. Like just
what's weird about that? That seems right. What? Bananas is weird. Buried in the metal seems like a normal statement.
Well, you'd say like infused or
I would say fused.
I don't know.
But the wackiest of the notions is that it was done intentionally and that the ship teleported and that the teleportation moment was what allowed the U.S. government to make contact with alien entities by using this. I saw that. And I was like, okay, that's fucking stupid. But is it really?
Not in simulation theory. It's not.
This version of the story allegedly comes from an interesting cat who supposedly was on a ship called the SS Andrew Furisith, which was in dock near the Eldridge when the Eldridge supposedly teleported. And there's a guy named Carl Meredith Allen, who calls himself Carlos Miguel Allende. Because he's mixing it up.
That's why you guys went Mexican.
That's right. Because I knew he was prepping. I knew Carlos Miguel Allende was coming.
Was it Allende or Allende or something?
Allende.
A L L E N D.
Allende.
Two L's in Spanish.
Like tortilla? You don't say tortilla.
Yep, that's true.
Don't say tortilla.
So Carlos Miguel Allende is the reason that this teleportation story even came up, right? So his account, he's the single, for years and years, he was the only eyewitness to this version of the story with the time travel, with the people fused in the bulkheads, all that stuff. And apparently
he's the only eyewitness.
Yeah. So he writes a guy named Morris K. Jessup, who wrote a famous book about UFOs called The Case for the UFO. He wrote it in the 1950s. And
he's actually like a legit guy though. He's an astronomer.
Graduate level.
Yeah. He's one of the earlier ufologists. He's not a super tinfoil hat guy.
He was kind of upset that they had taken the UFO thing and kind of made a joke of it, you know, where they started making movies and
his
comic books and all that stuff.
The case for the UFO is more about like propulsion, like how would we do it? The case for the UFO.
He's trying to make the case that it is actually possible. They're out there.
They're like, and again, if it's happening, this is the type of propulsion they're using. And he talks about the unified field theory,
and he even like publicly would say in speeches and in other pieces of writing, he said that right now we're trying to put people in space using rockets, and that's a complete mistake because that's the least efficient way that we could make this propulsion.
It really is a fucking bottle rocket. Like it was just like light. Yeah. fire to the bottom of a tin can and hold on fucking tight.
Right.
That's what I was having. Like,
if it challenges us, then it challenges us.
Right. So
he might disappart if it challenges you.
Yeah, it will disappart you.
So Jessup starts getting these letters from.
That's, he was a Filipino saying Joseph. His real name was Joseph, but that's how you say it.
That's his last name.
Yeah, Joseph. Jessup?
Jessup.
That's how you say Joseph in Filipino.
No.
In Pirebox, just so you know.
So Morris Jessup, the author, starts getting letters from Carl Meredith Allen, a.k.a. Carlos Miguel Allende, saying that the ship teleported, all this different stuff, the Eldridge, all these different things. And Allende claimed, or a.k.a. Allen, claimed that he saw the ship disappear for 10 minutes. He saw it reappear. He claimed that he had proof, which he ended up finally sending to Jessup, which Jessup said were two newspaper articles that had really nothing to do with anything.
You can call him Mr. A if it's easier.
We can call him Mr. A, actually. We'll call him Mr. A. He claimed that he could name other people that he served with on the Furisith, and he knew people who served on the Eldritch. And then when Jessup tried to follow up on it, he couldn't find any proof. He couldn't find any evidence. Investigators ended up going to the return address that Mr. A was sending all the letters to Jessup from, and it ended up being an abandoned farmhouse.
Which I thought was fucking awesome.
Which is pretty awesome. And then even later, like not until
if you put on special glasses, it was a laboratory.
Right.
Yeah, it looked like a farmhouse.
Decades later, it came out from other investigators that the abandoned farmhouse was a piece of property that the Allen family owned. It's just no one lived there.
I like how patient.
Well, there was kind of a unified field theory going on there. He had a unified farmhouse in a field.
That's true.
So he was using
to hide himself, make himself invisible.
He was unfindable.
He was hiding in the grass when the postman
came. I tried to put myself in relation to the 1950s as far as like correspondence of information and how slowly it comes, because he got a letter to this guy, a UFO guy, would be like, oh my God, I got this crazy letter. This guy says this stuff happened. So you get excited, and then he had to send a postcard back saying, well, where's your proof? And then wait, like for a different guy, apparently, to send him back information that's just vague. The letter they got back said, I can't corroborate all the things that that one guy said. He's like, but maybe under hypnotherapy, I could remember more.
Right.
How fucking frustrating is that? You're like, bullshit.
Yeah, so
call it bullshit.
And Jessup does call bullshit and pretty much cuts it off with this guy. And again, conspiracy theorists love to point to this fact. On April 20th, 1959, Jessup, who had recently been in a car accident, lost his wife, all sorts of sort of hard times hit him. He ended up killing himself by doing the hose taped to the tailpipe going back into the car. And conspiracy theorists.
He was supposed to be having a meeting with
someone at
that point, too. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
He got some information from Mr. A. And he was taking it to another guy.
I couldn't find it again. I tried to look it back up. He's supposed to be meeting someone else to hand over information, but when they arrive, instead, he's in his car with the whole exhaust pipe thing.
Mysteriously killed himself.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was watching the interview, and the daughter, she said that
Jessup's daughter,
when the mom, I guess, called her and said, hey, your dad is dead. And she immediately said, how did he do it?
Right. I saw that interview.
So, right there. She killed him.
No. Yeah, I think what Brad's alluding to is conspiracy theorists would say, like, why would he kill himself if he planned on meeting someone? Yeah. But when they questioned the daughter, they're saying it probably suicide was something. He just had that accident. His book didn't sell. His wife left him. He was depressed, and so much so that it imprinted on his daughter that her first reaction to your father died wasn't, oh my God, what happened? Like, was there an accident?
How did he do it?
Was her initial response to receiving the news that her father died. So that's to discount conspiracy theories saying why would he kill himself?
That's the argument out there. Like, there's that.
He was in a mindset that suicide was an option.
Right, yeah. Right.
So what was more important in his life, getting this information to a guy or his life that's falling apart?
Right.
You know? Right, right.
So his book didn't go over good.
Yep.
You know, he's having all kinds of problems.
So he
this
did,
guy
but
sucks,
he's
basically
found dead.
He should just suicide. He should just kill himself.
He already
did. What I'm trying to get to. Oh, he did?
Yeah. If your words traveled through time, you just talked to him.
He was still slightly alive, but he died later, actually. Yeah when they got him out of the car. He didn't quite die in the car, but he died.
Yeah, the screwdriver. After he got the screwdriver in the head,
wrong
he's still
thing.
Alive. Wrong thing.
Yeah. So the other thing that I found interesting when I started looking into this was I then saw something called the Vero annotations.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? So apparently a couple of people named James Mosley and Carl Flock wrote a book later on, and they said that in 1957, a couple of years before Jessup killed himself, he was contacted by the Office of Naval Research, and the Office of Naval Research sent him a package and asked him to study it and give him his sort of expert opinion and comment on it. And what he got in the mail was a copy of his own book, A Case for the UFO, and in the margins were annotations of allegedly three different people who identified themselves as Mr. A, Mr. B, and Jemmy. J-E-M-Y.
Yeah, that part was weird. I was like, why was it not Mr. C?
Yeah, why not
shit?
Mr.
Yeah.
C?
That would make sense.
Yeah.
They call, like, everything that I read multiple accounts of this version of the book. They refer to each other, the three of them, as gypsies. They talk about the different propulsion theories that are being used in the UFOs that Jessup talks about. They talk about two different races of aliens that live in space. They talk about the possibilities of these things flying, and they talk specifically about the Philadelphia experiment in different annotations.
I have
in the
a weird
margin.
Issue with it, which I don't know if it matters. It might just be me, but like it was written in light pink ink. And I picture that some like modern day shit. Like I feel like they had red, blue, and black, like back in the day, like even like red for grading papers or something.
The thing is though, the reason I don't think it was light pink ink is because I've seen like old documents written in red ink. Uh-huh. And if they're old and like, if they've been sitting there a couple pink. Of years, it just kind of becomes light pink. Like I think the red ink just fades faded. And it ends up becoming, that was my that was my immediate vision
that?
In my brain. That was what I saw
yeah,
when
it was
I was
like
seeing
light
the
pink
light pink.
Ink. The other thing that that's notable is that it was apparently the annotations held enough weight that they thought it was important enough. They printed 100 copies.
No, that's the thing. This part isn't bullshit. Whatever was annotated in this book was serious enough that the Office of Naval Research did send a copy to the author of the fucking book
itself.
They gave
him three copies.
And said, what is this? They printed 100. They had the Vero Manufacturing Company, which was a specialty press, printed 100 copies in color of this book, and they sent it to different naval officers to look into it and to see what was going on in this book, etc. And they sent three copies to the author himself, Jessup, to say, what is this? What are these annotations, etc.? So this is like a legitimate thing that, I mean, I read multiple people that said, yes, this did exist. The Office of Naval Research was interested in it. They wanted to find out what these annotations meant.
It's available online. You can
is available.
Yeah,
you can get that
online.
Version of the text and you can read it. But so this was 2 years before Jessup killed himself. He got the book in 1957. But then Jessup, when he studied the book, he said that he thought, based on his handwriting analysis, that Mr. A of the three of them was actually
Allende. Yeah, because
Allen.
He already had letters.
He already had all those
earlier.
Letters from him, and he thought it was the same handwriting, but he didn't think Mr. B or Jendi were the same person.
Well, somewhere in there.
So it might just be that Mr. A was Alan, Mr. B was Mr. Barnes, and then Jenny was just, or Jemmy was just Jemmy, you know?
And somewhere in there they thought that, and a lot of people think that it's aliens that were the ones writing this stuff, that wrote the annotations. That was the consensus.
That's one of the
conspiracy theories. Yeah, that they were aliens.
I have to point something weird out that just happened on my Facebook feed.
What? We're talking about something.
A sponsored ad just came up. I fucking hate. This is so weird. National Parks Depot. So obviously 411, right? We just did that episode.
Staircases.
No, National Parks Depot. I did say staircases a minute ago. I haven't said shit today, though.
Yeah.
National Parks Depot has an advertisement for a kid's survival walkie-talkie watch on my fucking Facebook feed right now as we speak.
They're
we
listening
just
to
your
about
phone.
Kids.
Your
phone.
My phone
doesn't pay any fucking attention.
I don't have.
Well,
I'm clearly the fucking Google gay pornography.
I'm the foil hat of the group, and the government. If they watch me, they're indirectly watching you guys.
Yeah.
Because if anyone's going fucking crazy,
that's why when you text
me
all week, I never answer you back.
I know.
That's right.
That is weird.
So this is all part of it, right? So A, the Michael Allende guy sends all this stuff, but Jessup rules it as largely being bullshit and cuts off communications. But then whatever this fucking weird Vero annotation of the book is, was like, to me, that really says something. It was curious enough that the Office of Naval Research ordered 100 copies printed so they could send it to naval officers. That's kind of a strange scenario. Like, I don't know what to make of that particular like what they saw in the annotations.
Yeah,
what
we need to go look at it.
I have
see,
no
yeah.
idea.
But it's an entire book, and it says heavily annotated, and heavily it has to do with propulsion and unified theory. So we're probably going to look at it like,
I
don't know. Yep.
I'm not
talking.
I'm
it's
not
like when
that shit.
Yeah, if Dave's car breaks down on the side of the road and he lifts the hood,
I'm not
it's
reading
exact
the whole,
same thing.
I'm not reading the whole
know,
book,
broke.
And then more shit.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like the whole book, and then three more shits.
Yeah, three shits.
Yeah. So then the other thing that adds to this story, other than just Mr. Allen, a.k.a. Allende, is a guy named Alfred Bialik. And did you guys run into Bialik?
Yeah.
So Bialik came out on January 13th.
That's Mr. B.
Mr. B. Apparently it is fucking Mr. B. Allen, even though this is 40 years later, yeah. right? Allen Bialik in 1990 comes out on a MUFON conference, the Mutual UFO Network, in Dallas, Texas. And he makes the claims that he was a crew member on the Eldritch, and he verifies all of the rumors that are out there about the ship disappearing, about all this different stuff. Like this is sort of his claim, and the media eats it up with a spoon. He's like immediately like on news networks, all this different yeah. stuff, but his shit is weird. I don't know how his stuff got
so,
any traction.
Well, Mr. A, from what I could gather, he was real pissed off about that everybody was making money off like the UFO thing
mm-hmm.
and the Philadelphia experiment, you know, deal that he put out. And so he came out and told everybody that it was fake, that it was a hoax.
Right.
but then once this guy came out in the 90s,
Yeah, I think it was 1990.
He actually came out and said, no, everything I said was true, and started go ahead and telling his tale again.
Right.
Like it never stopped.
And so Allen came back
yes.
and started
yeah,
telling
yeah.
his
he was
tale
missing,
again.
Okay. Like, you know, all that stuff. He came out, said it was a hoax. Then once it started picking up traction again, he came back out and said, like, no, this is real. Everything I said was true.
Right.
You know, he recanted his statement of saying that it was false.
Right.
So, kind of weird.
So,
know.
No, that is weird.
Seems like
and
a publicity thing. You know,
again, like, it's just like all these eyewitnesses, it's just weird. Even like, why did Allen call himself Allende? Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, it does, because if you they had stuff about his family and people that knew him
uh-huh.
and like one guy said like he was really smart but not smart, if you know what I mean. So like what he meant was he had a high IQ, like he tested for the second highest IQ in the county
town.
Or whatever yeah. and then but dropped out of ninth grade
yeah. mm-hmm.
so he wasn't book smart, he was
naturally
just
intelligent.
Yeah, just smart, you know, smart guy. So, but it was one of his things that he did, and we talked about it earlier, that he would annotate books of all kinds and just randomly send them to who he thought should have them.
Yeah, it was almost like his Asperger's type, like
right.
OCD of the yeah. time, you know. And yeah, I saw that same thing that he would annotate things and send it to people who may be interested in it.
Yeah, and so just so happens he sent the UFO book to the Naval Research and they were interested.
And I'm reading some of the annotations. It's not that crazy. It's kind of interesting, actually. So it is up on there. All I looked up was a Jessup annotation, and it came right up with a PDF of
yeah.
the book.
Yeah. Now you can find it out there. You can even buy a copy of it on Amazon if you want a hard copy. But so
I'm
Bialik,
disappointed it's not handwriting, though. I thought it was going to be cool, like the little handwriting on the side.
No, it's all typed out.
It's like
up.
Blue, green, and pink font.
But Bialik comes out, and his story is pretty fucking wacky. Like, I don't understand how this got any attraction. Bialik says that when he enlisted in the Navy in 1939, but back then he was called Edward Cameron. Makes sense.
It was before the operation.
Right.
So, well, that was Mr. C, but
so
he was out.
So Edward Cameron, AKA, Alfred Bialik, and his brother Duncan Cameron, both enlisted in 1939. He talks about the Philadelphia experiment, and he says that it started back in 1931 or 1932 at the University of Chicago. And he claims that it was spearheaded by Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, and John von Neumann, who were all trying to discover invisibility screens, by messing with unified field theory, and that eventually they moved to Princeton's Institute of Advanced Studies, which did found in 1930, and that was where Einstein and von Neumann actually practiced the bulk of their research, but he says that, which would have been public fucking information, but he says that they were all involved in it.
I'm still impressed at which the rate people acquired information back in that time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're so spoiled.
It was over years, though.
Yeah, this was over years.
I guess the other thing is, like, there wasn't a lot of, like, entertainment as far as, like, television and whatnot, mm-hmm. so the things you would look for would be things that are in the news or things that's noteworthy, you know what I mean? Scientific right. news or something would be entertaining.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind that, I don't know.
Yeah, the details. But here's where it starts to go south with the Bialik account. First off, he said that
He was a self-proclaimed crew member of the Eldridge, too.
Yes, he was.
There was no proof.
No, there's no proof. There was no proof. And he says that his memories of the entire event were gone because of something that happened in some place called Montauk.
Which ties into the whole
connection to the Montauk research facility and all that stuff. And he says that in his memory started to come back in 1988 when he watched the 1983 film called The Philadelphia Experiment. And he claims that the events in The Philadelphia Experiment were exactly what happened in the real world and that they jarred his memory and made his memory start coming back. But then he also says that instead of Michael Paré being the one, the actor who was in the fucking movie, who was being stuck in time, it was actually him and his brother. And he claims that his brother became locked in time and within a couple of minutes aged several years and died right after the Philadelphia experiment. He said, this is my other favorite detail, and this was hard to fucking understand what was happening here, but he says that the movie, this is this guy... The movie was produced by a company called EMI Thorne, and the Thorne half of EMI Thorne was a British company called Thorne, fucking whatever it was
mm-hmm. called. Thorne Entertainment.
Yeah. And they merged with EMI. And he claims that in 1890, the main Thorne guy who ran it, he claimed that he had a picture of Thorne, Aleister Crowley, the occult leader, and a guy named Preston Nichols, who became the president of the United States Psychotronic Association, whatever the fuck that is.
That's a cool title.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a dance club. Yeah, it is a dance club. They fucking bust out some fucking moves. Yeah.
Psychotronic.
And he claims that Crowley told Thorne that Nichols was a man out of time from a ship, and apparently Aleister Crowley told Thorne the story of the Philadelphia experiment in 1890, and that it got passed down to children until eventually they made this movie. Are you talking about?
And
this got attention. This got heat. Yeah. Like, this was
shit
this. I don't fucking get it. And then I went to, he's got a website. Albialik.com.
Let me bring this back. So this guy watches a movie, uh-huh. brings back memory of him on this ship.
That's right.
And the chupacabra lady saw a movie.
That's right.
And then she saw the chupacabra.
Right.
Movies are fucked up. No wonder Brent will watch horror movies because then he's going to see
the grudge
just fucking coming down the stairs.
I don't watch that shit. I'll start a whole cult.
There's a website, albialik.com, that he started before he died. And I just want to read the blurb at the top to you guys to let you see what you're getting into. It says, quote, "What you are about to encounter is the most in-depth compilation of interviews with survivors of the Philadelphia Experiment and Montauk Project to date. To round out your experience, we included many hours of content from Phil Schneider, Underground Bases and Alien Agenda, in parentheses, mind control topics, and testimony from victims of the ritualistic sex slave practice. The five people on this CD all testified that they worked with Al at the Montauk Project, and some even remember him as Ed Cameron during the Philadelphia Experiment." And then it goes on to try to bilk you for $30 to buy a set of CDs that cover all this material that somehow deals with mind control, ritualistic sex slaves, the Philadelphia CDs? Experiment, and Montauk.
Like, should we listen to these?
It's only 30 bucks.
I don't know, man.
I saw a guy that was being interviewed at a UFO convention, and he went so crazy as to say that there's actually a pyramid 1 mile under Montauk that has some shit to do with the Philadelphia Experiment. He went like 10 layers deep in the onion. Like, it was gnarly.
It gets fucking deep. So
he was
so,
all on the Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, he had a unified conspiracy theory.
He did, dude. Yeah, he brought the
fucking Montauk.
He's the fucking
into
master.
The pyramids, yeah, into yeah. the fucking Philadelphia experiment.
Yeah. So,
well, I have my own theory, and it involves Gary Coleman.
I'm sure.
I'll save that. I don't want to put it out.
So
there.
So again. Two versions of the Philadelphia experiment exist. One is the invisibility one that we covered earlier. The other one is the teleportation people fused in bulkheads. The two people who all of the information of the teleportation people fused in bulkheads were the Mr. A who sent weird postcards to yeah. people and this fucking
and that's
Bialik.
How, that's how it started.
Who like gets the, fucking those, wacky.
That book in the notations is the first one to mention that experiment,
right.
which puts... sent to the Navy and they got all crazy about it, which yeah. made it kind of come to light. And yeah. I think that's why it gained yeah. traction, because the Navy was so weird about it. Like, why would you even
yeah,
care?
They
if
were
it's just
weird
a made
about
up
it.
Story.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's the best thing I read, the best thing I encountered, there was an article written in 1994 called Anatomy of a Hoax, The Philadelphia Experiment 50 Years Later. It was published in the Journal of Scientific Exploration, which is a legit peer reviewed scientific journal. And it was written by a guy named Jacques F. Vallée. Okay. Jacques Vallée was a researcher, an astronomer, etc. And Jacques Vallée got letters from Michael Allen starting in 1967. Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy starts getting letters from Michael Allen and he starts piecing together the story, and his article, the way the article is framed, is he's calling this whole thing a hoax, and he gives you the 13 signs of a good hoax, and it includes an amazing fact, interesting witnesses, visible scientists, official secrecy, validation from credible researchers. He has this list of things that make a good fraud work. And he does say in there, he confirms with his research that the Office of Naval Research did send books to Jessup. Like he kind of confirms that stuff. But he talks about a guy that I ran into in the research named Edward Dudgeon. And apparently, so Vallée writing this article, while he was doing his research, he put things out in major newspapers all over the place saying, I'm doing research on the Philadelphia experiment. If there's any eyewitnesses for any of the more bizarre experiences, like the sailors disappearing, like this thing, please contact me. I would love to hear your story.
Right.
So he puts out a call, and this guy named Edward Dudgeon contacts him. And apparently he shows up and he's got proof of assignment for the ships he was assigned to. He's got photos of himself joining the Navy. He's got his honorable discharge from the Navy all during this period. Tons of proof that he was where he said he was. And he said, I saw your call and I just wanted to come out and say some of this. And according to Dudgeon, he tries to counteract a lot of the Philadelphia stuff. And he says, yeah, there were weird things happening on the ship. He says, one thing is there were four total DE class ships. He was assigned to one called the Ingstrom, which was in port the same time as the Eldridge and the Philadelphia experiment, et cetera. He said that they were being equipped with special propellers, which he calls screws, that were designed in a way to make U-boats think they were very small merchant vessels, not destroyers. They were also being equipped with things called Foxers, which were fake propellers dragged a half a mile behind the ship that made it sound like the destroyer was half a mile back.
That's smart. Yeah,
and
that's
that
cool.
This is part of what they were being fitted with. He says that they were being degaussed. He was the first one who mentioned this degauss theory. This is where that theory came from.
And that makes sense.
Of them doing the degaussing.
That's a real thing.
Yep, it's a real thing. He said that they were trying to install experimental sonar on some of the boats to try to detect U-boats. And he said that they were installing at the time top secret things that they called hedgehogs, which would fire depth charges in banks of 24 up to a mile out to try to sink U-boats. And he said that all these things were being done on the ships. And he said that the reason that he even contacted them is that he said that he and a sailor who he only remembers as Dave were both underage. He signed up when he was 16
mm-hmm.
and he was in mm-hmm. Philadelphia on the night of the alleged Philadelphia experiment.
Was it Sunny?
He was, it was, it's always sunny in Philadelphia. Okay. He was, apparently he claims this Edward Dudgeon, he claims that he was in a bar drunk and fighting this guy named Dave. It was a bar they always went to. They were both underage, and the shore patrol, the military police showed up, and that the waitress, who was kind of sweet on him, snuck him out the back door before they could be busted for being drunk underage. And he claims, I'm one of the two sailors who went missing.
And when he said, when Dave says that, he means Dave.
I mean me. I traveled there as well. I was one of the two sailors. I wasn't that drunk though, to be honest. Like, it wasn't.
But the waitress was sweet on him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this guy claims all this stuff. And then again, you just get a fucking Russian nesting doll of conspiracies, because now you find a ton, which rightfully so. It's like, so I read this thing and I'm like, well, that all sounds legitimate. But then the people who counter that are like, why are you willing to believe this guy's account of what happened, but you're going to shoot down Michael Allen's account of what happened? Like, you're believing one eyewitness versus another eyewitness.
Well, okay, let's analyze that. Yes. Because that guy's story is actual plausible.
Yes.
And the other guy... Well, it's kind of crazy.
Kind of fucking insane. But I mean, you know, this guy did show up with proof that he was who he said he was. Yeah. He was where he said he was.
So what's
he was
crazy about that story? Like, that's what the thing is. So, like,
but a lot of conspiracy people are like calling out Vallee, and they say they don't trust Vallee.
This is the problem.
Well, they say that Vallee is a military shill, and that he worked for the military, and that you can't trust anything he said because his job is misinformation, et cetera, et cetera. But regardless of what, the two people who are saying the ship teleported are fucking wackadoos and full of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
and the other thing like conspiracy theorists need to grab onto is when your theory has been kind of fucking shot down, no matter how much you love it, just call it quits and find a new theory. Like, right. it's kind of over. You know what I mean? Like, game over. Like, let's treat this as a game. Like, you lost that round.
Right.
Come up with a new one and see what you can find, you know, like. Yeah, because to just pull an Albert Einstein on the field theory and just stop and just study one thing for the rest of your life is not going to work out.
And just to treat fairness, there's a guy named Jeff Rents, R-E-N-S-E, and he runs Rents.com, and he has a whole article talking about the fact that the Vallee Dudgeon thing is full of lies and it's a conspiracy and all this bullshit. So you can go to Rents.com and find that article if you want to see a counter.
Rents like the rent cycle or renting a house?
Neither. R-E-N-S-E.
Oh, all right.
Rents.com. But his website also proclaims on the front page that it is, quote, the most format and content plagiarized site on the net, which I'm not sure. If you see the format, it's not quite GeoCities, but it's not far.
Oh, shit. It's Heaven's Gates on us? You got Heaven's Gates on us?
Not quite. It's a little bit more advanced than that. But again, it's like every when I was doing research, I've of all the conspiracies I ran into, I never saw one that was as much point, counterpoint, counter, counterpoint, counter, counter, counterpoint. It's like, no, this guy said this. And it's like, no, that guy's full of shit. But then this guy said that the guy that said that the guy was full of shit is full of shit. But then this guy that said the guy that was full of shit was full of shit.
They stop forgetting what they're talking about and they're investigating each other.
It starts to get like,
this guy came out and said this, but come to find out he's fucking this and that and this.
Yeah.
And
you start to get in deep. So
how many disappearing ships are you giving,
out of five? If I'm ranking this conspiracy theory, I have to rank two different things. The invisibility ship theory.
True. Before you rank it though, tell me this, what do you think currently? Do you think we possibly have technology that could do anything that was described?
But stealth?
I mean, well, we have stealth technology. I mean, do you think we have some hidden technology?
We already talked about degaussing. Like, that's a real thing.
No, I'm saying now, do you think we can do what they claimed then?
Oh, yeah. You can make people disappear.
Well, you can make people disappear, but I don't think you can make people disappear using the methods that they were talking about.
Yeah. So, do you think
I don't think that using quantum physics and unified time field
travel,
theory...
So time travel, no.
No.
Okay.
I think we could probably stealth a ship, but it's going to involve like miniature cameras or a smart dust or a projection of what's on one side to the other, not like a manipulation of the unified field that warps light through electromagnetic energy. I don't think that exists.
It's not the invisibility that you're thinking of is what we're talking about.
I mean, publicly we can teleport photons, and we have things like CERN where we hyperaccelerate particles and create theoretical black holes, which could be a wormhole to teleport something. It seems like we have like the beginnings of a small scale of what's possible then. Yeah. But then there's the whole thing of like Are UFOs ours?
But like, I think there's some
hidden level above that.
It's just like the transhumanist thing. Like in 30 years, we might be able to live forever.
Right.
You know, but right now.
The reason I ask is like, if you think we could do it now, then yes, we could have done it then. And maybe it was just like came out.
I don't think so. Well, I guess if you're thinking of time travel as like, will we ever be able to time travel? If we're ever able to time travel, then anything's possible. Right. Because you can always go back. You
could have brought the technology back. Yeah,
and change shit. You know, it's like maybe we lost the First World War or Second World War, and then the world's different. They go back and change it. Now the world's this, you know.
And whatever. I mean, if you're digging deep into the UFO side of the conspiracy, like if there was a fucking space alien involved, then I suppose, like if I was willing to concede that an alien intelligence was involved, then I suppose yes, because an advanced intelligence could probably pull these things off. And if they happened to be in Philly fucking with the Eldridge, then sure, they could have done it, but I don't think
they're on vacation.
Have you guys ever seen something called the Hutchison effect? There's like something with a.
Is that like Munchausen syndrome?
No, it has to do with like super conductivity. Like there's a guy, I can't remember his first name, but some last name Hutchison, I guess. And there's these experiments, and you see them online. I don't know if it's bullshit, but they levitate things like a bowling ball through like super conductivity. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. If you super excite particles, I bet all kinds of weird things happen. I just don't know if you can wrap wires around a boat and hook it to a generator.
This is the other thing, though. That's now. And they're figuring that stuff out. This is the 40s.
That's what I'm saying, though. If it was possible now, then it was possible then.
But not necessarily.
It was possible. The question is, did we have the technology?
Yeah, two different.
It doesn't change possibility.
You're right.
So that's why I'm just thinking, like, what's hidden from us? They always say that they're like 50 years ahead of what we actually see. Everything's coming out late. Right. So I don't know, though. I think Dave's right. I think it would have to do with cameras and weird stuff like that.
I think if they time traveled a ship, they would definitely be researching that.
I feel like a really
And the other thing, the other crazy thing about that book, though, like, he sent it to the Naval Research Facility, but was it really the Philadelphia experiment that they were like, oh my God, like this is like, and got all on it about? Maybe there was something else in that shit that they were like,
from all the descriptions I read, the bulk of the annotations were about alien propulsion techniques and different energy generation. And it happens to mention the Philadelphia experiment. I just think this guy was probably one of the guys doing it, this Allen guy. I don't know if it even was. I mean, the guy who allegedly committed suicide thinks one of the handwritings is Mr. A, a.k.a. Allende, but whether that is or not, we have no idea.
I'll tell you what, man. I need a bathtub, a limited edition Tonka battleship from World War II. They released them only to certain parties. There's 30 of them made. I'm going to need a ceiling fan, 50 feet of sprinkler wire, and a little bit of time. And I'm going to figure this shit out. I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Did that. There was a magician.
I saw the magician. Yeah.
And
he
pulled together a conference, and he said he was going to make a ship disappear. Well, he couldn't get the ship, so he got a photo of a ship, and made it disappear. But then he got a contact from
the government,
Navy, and told him to fucking shut his shit down.
They said they actually consulted him, and he said, "Okay, fine, I can't make a ship disappear," because he said,
"Oh yeah, they made him say that he can't."
You know, like look at like David Copperfield, like where the fuck did the Statue of Liberty go? Yeah. It's probably a funny angle and a mirror and some light and whatever. But people walked up on the fucking platform. I don't understand So people don't know how the fuck David Copperfield does that shit. You know. I mean, so they contacted a magician because he said he could make a battleship disappear. And then he admitted, okay, I can't make the battleship disappear, but I could make it really hard to see. And they never disclosed.
But that's a lie, though.
You
can make a battleship disappear.
I just shit my bed. I fucking love Kmart commercials, dude. That is my favorite
commercial. That is
commercial.
a big ass savings. That's a big ass man.
I could use some big ass savings. I just shit my bed.
You don't know
the Kmart commercial?
I just shit my 90.
I can ship my drawers. Mom, can I ship? Mom, I just ship my pants.
Can I ship my pants?
You don't know this?
No.
It's the word ship, but Kmart had a brilliant commercial and it was, I just shipped my bed.
They're hilarious.
I just shipped my drawers. You got to watch
and
that shit.
There's a dresser.
Fans, if you have, and then big gas savings.
Yeah, big gas savings.
That black chick is just saying,
use some big ass savings. Yeah.
That's a big ass man, Dad. Yeah. That is a big ass man. Really, that's a big ass truck.
Man.
Yeah. It's the best commercial ever.
We'll have to show them to you after you do that. So if you haven't seen those commercials, search Kmart band. Are they banned? They were banned.
Okay, Google Kmart funny commercials. I did it for you. There you go. Done.
Except for you're the only one that it does that to. Now you're going to get ads for Kmart for days.
Yeah, that's right. Fucking weird.
So I give the first Philadelphia experiment, the invisibility experiment, et cetera, I give that 2 disappearing ships out of 5. And I get, because I think something was done. I think they were degaussing. I think rumors of a ship disappearing, the St. Elmo's fire would account for the green glow. The degaussing would account for it. It would account for the reports of sailors being dizzy and weird. A lot of people claim they smelled ozone. It would even account for that. So I give that 2 out of 3. I'd give it higher because I think some shit was going on the ship, but were they trying to make it invisible by unified theory? No, I don't think they were. As far as the teleportation, I give it 0 out of 5 because the 2 fucking dudes who said it happened are the only 2 dudes. There's no evidence. There's no proof. It's just 2 fucking dudes that said this should happen. And one of them bases it all on a fucking movie that came out 5 years before and deals with the fucking picture from 1890 with Aleister Crowley. And he's a fucking lunatic trying to get $30 out of you to buy his CD set.
I think the electromagnetic, that you could have had green haze, you could have had an aurora, you could have had the coronal discharges. I think that the talk surrounded by that, like I said in the beginning, with we're going to make it invisible, and the things that they were doing with the propellers and sonar, that there was a lot of talk about cloaking and invisibility. And I think that could have been drunken sailor in the bar misconveyed and telephoned into, you know, word of mouth that became what it is. And then a really intelligent guy that liked to annotate books happened to send the book to the right person that fell in the right hands that went to the, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, wow, that's a coincidence but that sure worked out. And then a guy killed himself to add more notoriety to it. And then it kind of fell away for a long time too. What's funny is, did you see that it resurfaced? The reason that that movie flopped from the 80s or whatever about Philadelphia experiment. And then in 1996,
and Bialik talks about the flop, by the way, he says that it was part of a conspiracy and that it wasn't screened properly.
Well, the reason it got hot again was, Playboy did an article in the Greek edition of Playboy. I didn't realize there was different
Greek
editions.
Or Russian?
It's Greek. Yeah, but I don't know why. I didn't know there was different editions.
It's,
I thought
all over
that
the world.
But I thought we just distributed Playboy. Is it like a special Greek edition?
Yeah, they don't give a shit about America articles.
Oh, maybe the articles are different, but the Playboy girls were featured the same. I don't know.
Maybe don't the Greek ones have like unibrows?
Yeah, feta, olives,
armpit hair,
Frida, hot Frida. So, anyways, they featured an article about the ship. The whole thing of it being decommissioned and discovered in a wrecking yard and whatnot because it. It went back into service for a long time.
Yeah, another country.
In the Greek military or something. Yeah,
because it was part of what was it called?
Which rekindled the conspiracy thing, which started the fire, and then the movie became a cult followed movie. I actually haven't watched that movie.
Because in 51,
I'm not going to watch.
No, it's fucking horrible.
Is it bad?
It's bad.
Like, I mean,
it's fucking. It's pure 1980s.
It's not a horror.
Let's just put it that way.
They don't all of a sudden.
No, it's not a horror flick.
People start killing each other.
It's pure 1983 fucking cinema at its finest.
Sounds fucking sweet to me.
Yeah, the mutual defense.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong guy about not watching that movie. You just convinced him.
The mutual offense. Mutual Defense Assistance Act made the ship get transferred to Greece, and then it was used by it was renamed the HS Leon, and it was used all through the Cold War for U.S. joint operations, et cetera. But then it was sold to a scrapyard, and I think that was when it got some story because it was sold to a scrapyard and being decommissioned.
Somebody there that saw the movie was like, oh my God, this is the ship.
Yeah, and someone else saw the movie and said, oh my
money
God,
you
those are
made,
my memories.
They would have saved that and let you like give tours instead of cutting it up. Yeah. All that to do is make stairs. That was it. Let you walk around it. Yep. They could have made a ton of money.
Yep.
Stupid.
They should have bought 2 and made 1 look older. And
so you're giving it 5
location.
Disappearing ships?
No, I'm not even rating it on ships. I just think that there's probably some truth to some of those anomalies.
Well, and that's what we said. I think the same thing. I'm going to go with the same rating Dave gave as a 2 because I'm kind of mad it crossed our paths. Like, it's not really.
It's like Bermuda Triangle. It's God damn it.
Chupacabra, Bermuda Triangle all over again.
What do you mean, Chupacabra? That shit's real.
I was expecting to find a lot more corroboration. I was expecting to find a lot more sailors saying some weird shit happened.
Yeah.
When I got down to like 2 fucking dudes, one of them is missing in action and lives in a field, and one of them's a complete fucking wackadoo who has the same memories as a movie. I was just like,
disappointment.
That was very, very disappointing.
But whatever floats your boat.
I wanted to mention before the show's over that when I went to get coffee this morning, the barista Rosie, who is a fan of the show, she was super sad, super quiet, just staring off at the espresso machine. And I was like, hey, you okay? And she was like, I just didn't sleep last night. I had bad dreams. And I was like, what about? She's like, oh, it was about Amish people with razor sharp metal teeth stealing children in the Pennsylvania woods. I was like, what happened? She's like, I'll be honest, I fell asleep listening to the missing 411 episode. And she got chupacabra.
She did get chupacabra, yeah. Dude. Yeah. The legacy continues. Yeah.
And her day at work is, like, it's kind of neat that we make an impact on people, but I don't want people crying in the car over Brad's 911 intro. And like this other guy, Jeff Lindley, said, thanks for ruining camping forever. There's a couple people that are like, yeah, that were like, I was planning a hiking trip and I don't know now. I was doing a multi-day hiking trip and now I'm afraid that I don't know if I want to do it anymore.
How is that not what's always on your mind when you're camping?
It changed
if
the way
I'm in the woods or if I'm camping.
I'm always looking for Gary
like
Coleman.
I'm always, exactly. Insane. I'm always waiting for a fucking Gary Coleman, chupacabra, abduction, mysterious fucking shit. I'm
that's
always
the reason why, like, you go to the woods.
Like
you,
I used like the allure. My friends used to think I was crazy because they have a cabin and I would go up there and like if I was just at the cabin and I was going to go for a 20-minute hike, I had a fucking vest that had like emergency packs of water and a fucking sharp knife flare gun. I was like, no, because shit's going to happen. I'm not sawing my fucking leg off.
You guys, you know, like, do you like Chupa Coleman or Gary Cabra?
Gary Cabra. Mm-hmm.
Do you think printdirtchube.com can make a standees and then we can mail them to fans that hide them in like the woods of Oregon and
that's
shit?
That's funny.
So Gary when someone Cabra. Comes around the corner, like Gary Coleman's just standing in the forest.
Gary Cabra's there.
Gary Cabra's much better.
No, you know what? I thought about this because Brent goes to the cabin. If he watched like Friday the 13th and some other movies, like The Hills Have Eyes and stuff like that, and
I tried to
the cabin, I wonder what would happen.
No, yeah. Dude, I don't have to watch shit. It's so dark there. I was fucking scared. One night, the bathroom is in the bedroom. There's only one bedroom, but everyone sleeps in the loft of the firm. So if you got to piss, you have to like clunk, clunk through a room and wake up my parents and go into that bathroom. That's where it's at. Or you have to go to a fucking outhouse that's like 15 feet away and fuck, that ain't happening.
Yeah, I'm going
it
there.
Is. No, you would not, dude. Yeah, but it's so fucking scary and dark.
You're camping all the time.
I don't know, man. I had to piss dark, into the darkness. Shit. It was like float room dark. Like I couldn't see my hand in front of my face because there was cloud cover.
Yeah.
And I felt my toes like hit the edge of the porch. I was like, that's the edge. Don't walk any farther. I'll just piss off right here. And I was standing there pissing the whole time. I was like, something is going to bite my dick off. Like I'm fucking scared. Like I was so scared, dude. I'm just a bitch. Another, I guess. Like,
well,
I like
another thing that I hear some people do when it's dark out is they get a light.
I didn't have it.
Yeah, like,
or a phone.
You keep that by. Yeah.
Like you'd normally
then it would
keep,
be constant scanning. Like I would only see directly in front of me. And I have to like look to the left, look to the right, look to the left, look to the right.
When I go to my friend's cabin, I permanently have a fucking flashlight in my pocket because it gets pitch black and I've got a fucking light.
I'll be prepared next time.
It's not experienced is all. So somebody, just a couple shout outs again, I guess. Aguilar627 on Twitter, RAA, he said that the FBI transcripts show nobody died in Orlando shooting until SWAT team entered the building. So interesting. So also a couple of other shout outs. People started following Big Mama, Heather and Puma. Cool. Sharky Xmas.
Sharky Xmas.
That's good.
Jay Kirtley and Alec, what are you guys discussing today? Well, we're discussing how we can kill you. That's what we're discussing.
That's a shout out.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're discussing.
And some sponsors.
Yep. I got to pee really bad.
Do it in the dark. I dare you.
I don't.
So I already talked about Salt 7 with being in the woods and being.
Do the sponsors float, like Tone Loc. I want to hear you do your sweet voice.
Sheila was a man. That's all I got.
No, you're not going to do that?
Seven was a tank. stupid.
Oh, you know what? I missed one of my... S. Rickard 77 says, hi from Australia. I thought I marked that off on accident. Welcome I hadn't said that yet. There you go, S. Rickard 77. Brad's Land Down Under shout out for you. All right, yeah. So thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce for making me try crazy stuff like jam and pancakes and chocolate cake with hot sauce, because I never would have done that because there's no other hot sauce that matches that level of deliciousness. Thank you to Digital Creations for swag, coffee mugs, all that good stuff. Thank you to Kevin Brewster at Darkside Graphics. Thank you to Dirk at Salt 7. We're actually going to get Yucateco marketing reps to float at Salt 7.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come to town, actually. Yeah. Yes. And maybe talk to us. And we're
You know, we should try and plan too. We were talking about what to do. We should try and plan a real escape room with them.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I have tokens.
Yeah. We could do that. I don't know how we're going to talk on the show. It's like in the day. It's going to be hot in here. I don't know.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we're going to do Real Escape, and then we're going to go do float. Send them to Float.
Yeah, send them to Float.
They'll never see us again once they float. All their makeup's going to melt off, and they'll be, they won't. They'll just get in the car and drive away. Who did I forget now? Salt 7.
PrintDirtCheap.com.
PrintDirtCheap.com. You can use code SOFAKING with everyone, including Starbucks. If they argue with you, they're full of fucking shit. Yeah, I talked to corporate last week.
Yeah. There's a discount on Starbucks. Starbucks, SOFAKING. Code SOFAKING, give you 10% off your drink. Let them know.
That's right.
And Dan Camarillo.
Yep.
Oh, actually, Dan Camarillo, I walked into my son's class in the night class, and he was like, hey, come here. And he was like, which hot sauce is hotter, green or red? I said, I'm pretty sure they're the same. He and his friend filmed a Yucateco commercial that's in the editing process right now, apparently. God. And they tried to see if Yucateco could make Taco Bell delicious, which I told him, hey, end of the story. Yes, I do it like fucking nightly. But he said he can't handle the heat. He can't do it. I tried to give him some Triple X. He can't handle it. But he admits it's delicious, but he just can't handle the heat. But,
give him the Chipotle.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how that Chipotle.
Yeah,
man,
I don't know how to be on Taco Bell. I will take him Chipotle tomorrow.
After
you
said that.
Are you done?
Yep.
All right.
If I had to pee, you would just ramble on with randomness and make it end forever.
You are. You're just going telling stories about commercials.
Like, the thing I didn't mention was waterfalls, like flowing water, waterfalls, running bathtubs, sprinkler systems, glaciers. Things like that. Iced tea, ice cold tea, big ass glass ice cold tea.
Dick trickle.
Yeah. Warm, warm water. I feel it trickling. What is that, Brad?
Dick trickle.
It's peeing on my leg.
Dick trickle from Days of Thunder. Don't be a retard.
The youth dreams cut short, swept under the rug. Love for self is outweighed by the love for the drugs. Go Eagles, McNabb and T.O. We ain't hard to find, homie, just follow the weed smoke. We eat rolls and grease beef soap. Overweight and evil, a city of justice unequal. The shadow of New York we still under, so we gotta kill them every summer. Walk a little tougher, guns busting how we chose to fight. Where you could go from being a star to a scumbag overnight. Streets often deserted on the coldest nights. Old head drinking Thunderbird, show your right. Cops don't ask if you know your rights. Hopeless hype, smoking pipes, pavement gamblers, rolling dice. Short sentence describe your whole life. Low expectancy at a low price for a low life. The mind of many years shines so, so bright. But they can give a fuck in they crib, it's no lights. Everybody rhyme and they claim they don't write. It down, sit down, take it all in. Civilization, this is where it all ends. The city I call Ken, yo, so take caution. It's the sound of Philadelphia, gunshots and pretty beats. Come along with me, hear my city speak. It's talking to you, it's giving you a heads up. It's saying that niggas round here is getting fed up. It's the sound of Philadelphia, gunshots and pretty beats. Come along with me, hear my city speak. It's talking to you, it's giving you a heads up. It's saying that niggas round here is getting fed up. All stoops, the fruits of our labor are made by moves that's major. Hood gossip, never news from the newspaper. Don't ask me for shit, we never do favors. The elders are now just a bunch of recluse neighbors. Tax scholars go to prisons, new judges, new chambers. Love it when you lose, kill you if you came up. Niggas passing disease, fucking the same slut. You either cutting the demo or getting cane cut. Don't go to school, they'll treat you like a lame duck. You ain't my master, yeah, it's a shame, but what do you expect from kids who need respect? Cause no one was at home for them to learn respect from. We respect guns, we respect funds. Let's face it, my future don't look like the Jetsons. Don't ask the government for help, couldn't we expect none? Our heroes get murdered, replaced with the next one. It's like a Wild West gun, a way out, I hope I get one. But I doubt that will happen, cause a crab's in a barrel. I probably end up in a cage, cause I had to let a blast from the barrel. The city of Philly, the city of Philly, city of Philly. It's the sound of Philadelphia, gunshots and pretty beats. Come along with me, hear my city speak. It's talking to you, it's giving you a heads up. It's saying that niggas round here is getting fed up. It's the sound of Philadelphia, gunshots and pretty beats. Come along with me, hear my city speak. It's talking to you, it's giving you a heads up. It's saying that niggas round here is getting fed up.